It is really life-changing.
Yeah.
It's insane. Even, I mean, I wouldn't say I have a huge dark past with alcohol. I think that everybody does things that they kind of like regret or are embarrassed about when they get too intoxicated. But just from doing it, I mean, I feel like I'm a completely different person and my outlook on life is just entirely different. Like, it couldn't be any better.
Hey everyone, it's your host Richie Burke, and thank you so much for tuning into the Go-Getters Podcast, the show that highlights leaders making a difference and tackles the topics that are going to help move our city forward. Just a reminder that this podcast is made possible by On Milwaukee and Go Get It Marketing and Media, ggmm.io. We would really appreciate if you help support the podcast by sharing episodes, leaving reviews, and heading to ggpodcast.org to suggest the guests and topics that you want to hear. Thanks again for tuning in and enjoy the show. Today, we have a very interesting topic I'm excited about. We'll be talking about being young, active, and sober in a city where most activities, networking, dating, other things revolve around drinking. I've got two millennials joining me today to talk about their journey. One who's been sober for, I believe, 3 years. The other's been sober for a year. We have Sarah Hoffman from Beltern Lincoln. She's also a bartender at Luis's over on Cathedral Square and volunteers with Islands of Brilliance and does some other things in the community. And we have Eric Kennedy, who is the vice chair of One Milwaukee. He's involved with Echelon, Milwaukee, and several other organizations. So thank you guys so much for coming on the show. It's a very interesting topic, and I'm really excited to hear your journeys today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're excited to share our stories, and hopefully other people can relate, and maybe it'll inspire others. So,
for sure. Sarah, let's get started with you. So how did you end up in Milwaukee? And can you just kind of, you know, walk us through your involvement in the city?
Okay. So I'm from Minneapolis originally and came to Wisconsin for school. I went to Marquette. And then after that, just decided to stay here and see if I could build a life for myself. Currently, I'm involved in Islands of Brilliance and Milwaukee Ad Workers, Milwaukee Film Club. And that's about it. And then also part-time bartender at Luis's.
Awesome.
So for me, I'm a transplant as well. So I came here in 2008. I was hoping that I would get a job right out of the gate after I graduated from college. But as we all know, millennials, we all knew that the job market was not the greatest. And so I was familiar with Milwaukee because my parents are born and bred from Milwaukee. I grew up as a Packers and a Badgers fan, so every summer we would come back to Milwaukee as a family trip to see my grandparents and what I call my Milwaukee mom and dad, and we would always go to Cops Custard and Cousin Subs. So I joined the AmeriCorps, which is almost like an internship program, but it's a year of service. I did that at a camp through the YMCA, and if people know me, I'm not a camper. I actually hate being outdoors. And so I did 2 years of that, which I'm very thankful because I got my foot in the door with the Y. And also I started falling in love with Milwaukee. Within the last, I would say, 3 to 5 years, I realized that I wanted to do more than just what I did with the Y. So what I started volunteering and getting active with different young professional organizations. That's how I met Richie. And the community really embraced me for who I am. And it was really amazing to be a part of these awesome initiatives that really are changing the narrative of the Milwaukee community. And it's the beauty of how we are the most segregated city is what the news tells us. But for me, I don't see that. I see my friends and the communities that I'm a part of, the organizations and the initiatives that I'm part of that are very inclusive, very diverse, very inviting, and very accessible. So,
yeah, that's great. And Eric, I've always been a fan and appreciated what you've done for the city. And I've known you for a while, and you know, I've drank with you before years ago. Sarah, I just met you, but we were kind of reminiscing about Caffrey's and Murphy's and Blows over at Marquette. So I know you guys had to make a shift at some point in time. So let's dive right in and talk about why you chose to, you know, be sober in the first place. What caused that? Was it a certain event? Did it happen over time?
I think for me, I chose to cut alcohol out of my life for a lot of different reasons. One of the biggest ones was I didn't really like how I was acting when I was intoxicated. I didn't like how my personality changed. And I also just had wanted to challenge myself for a really long time. And I thought this was something that I could actually do. And it wouldn't be easy, but I know if I worked at it, I could achieve it. And I'd never set a goal like that for myself. And so when the new year came in 2017, I was like, why don't I just do it? I'm not feeling healthy. I'm not feeling good about myself. Like, this year can be my year. And it was awesome. What about you, Eric?
So for me, I would say that Sunday, which is May 20th, is going to be 3 years, which I'm pretty excited and stoked about. For me, the reason that I quit drinking is that I wasn't walking the walk or talking the talk personally. I was doing it a lot externally where people thought I was this genuine person and nothing was really wrong. But personally and inwardly, I had a lot of different things going on where I wasn't, like I said, walking the walk or talking the talk. And my decision making of drinking when I was drinking was not the best. I wasn't who I was. I wasn't genuine. I was probably more unprofessional, a little bit more two-faced, less compassionate. And I realized that the path that I was going down was not who I wanted to be, who my parents wanted me to be or raised me to be. The values that were instilled in me were not aligning with who I wanted to be and who I was at that point. And it's really, I mean, over the course of the last almost 3 years, it's been probably the best decision of my life. At the time, it was a very reflective time where I needed to either, if I continued to go down the drinking path, I would have gone, I don't know what would have happened. I'm very thankful that I made the decision to be sober and be alcohol free. So
it is really life changing.
Yeah.
It's insane. I wouldn't say I have a huge dark past with alcohol. I think that everybody does things that they kind of like regret or are embarrassed about when they get too intoxicated. Yeah. But just from doing it, I mean, I feel like I'm a completely different person and my outlook on life is just entirely different. Like, it couldn't be any better.
Yeah. And for me, like, I will say to Sarah's point, it has changed my life for the better. I feel like my relationships overall with my family, with my friends, with my colleagues, just in general in the community are more genuine and more meaningful. And it's no longer the drinking buddies or let's go to these bars because we know these people and let's have a lot of drinks and have fun. My time with people now is more genuine, spiritually, mentally, physically, even though I eat really bad. Personally and professionally, it's more genuine. It's more meaningful when I spend time with them. I can remember a lot of the conversations and the friendships that I've built. They're more, I can't say it enough, it's more genuine. Mm-hmm. And they're lifelong friendships. And that's how I got to know Richie, through not only through drinking, with just hanging out with him, but also now our conversations, for me, have gotten more meaningful, more genuine. And our time with each other is, for me, is more memorable for me that I'm going to take away that rather than just having a 2-hour bar binge or something like that. So,
and life is just less routine.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I feel like every single weekend when I was drinking was just like, okay, we're going to the same bar. We're going to do the same thing. Somebody's going to cry or someone's going to fall over. You know, things just become monotonous.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm interested in hearing about the transition, because from what I hear, and actually my dad kind of went through this too at, you know, probably at age 50, where you cut it off earlier, and he's a successful business guy, and he just had events all the time, similar to what you two, and he'd have a few beers at that event, and that, you know, it compounds over mm-hmm. time as far as health reasons go and just overall performance. And he cut cold turkey about 5 years ago, said it was the best thing that ever happened to him and that he wishes he did it a lot earlier. Myself, I cut it out in spurts, sometimes for 3 weeks, sometimes during the week. And, you know, I'm definitely more productive in those areas. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are times where I feel like I'm missing out. I'm guessing a lot of people who are listening to this episode feel like, oh, if I cut it out, what am I going to do on the weekends? Can I still show up to this networking event? I feel uncomfortable. I feel awkward. I know I've kind of been through that one mm-hmm. when I've cut it out, at least initially. And we had a really good Facebook question come in from Adam Harid, who I know you know, Eric. Yeah. And Adam, thank you for chiming in. He just said, I'm interested in the evolution stages, first week, first month, 3 months, et cetera, what they felt like physically, emotionally, socially, which I thought was very well worded. What did you guys go through? What was the hardest part? And then, you know, do you miss it or are you good now?
I think initially for me, you're a bit self-conscious because I think people's perception of somebody who doesn't drink is that they're a wet blanket, they can't connect with them, or that they've had this dark history with alcohol. And so there's kind of that awkward buffer between you and other people that maybe you don't really know. And so it was really for me getting over kind of that self-conscious, like, oh my God, what are people going to think? Are they going to ask me weird questions? And so it was just kind of getting more self-confident and realizing that no one cares if you're drinking or not. You know, that's all in your head. And if you just want to have a soda or a water, that's completely fine.
Yeah, I think for me, it was really, I'll be honest, if I was still in college, I don't think I would be able to
Same.
Be sober.
Same.
Because in college, it's so much different, the culture. And if you're not drinking, then you're not going to get invited to the parties or get invited to the outings. And I think for me, that's really why I started drinking, is because I was in a fraternity and I wanted to be socially accepted, so everyone else is doing it. So I did the same thing. But now, 3 years ago, I think the first week, I would say I was surrounded by friends and my grandparents. And during that time, it was Memorial Day weekend as well. And afterwards, I just started telling people, close friends, that I wasn't going to drink anymore. And the response that I definitely thought... I had the stereotype and the prejudgment that I was going to lose a lot of friends and I was going to lose. And that for me, I was going to be ready for that. But luckily, a lot of my friends during the first week, the first month, the first 60 days, the first 6 months to a year and beyond have all embraced me for who I am and really continue to support me and love me and continue to be there for me. I think at first people were just asking like, hey, is this going to be for real? Because people who knew me back before 3 years ago almost, they knew that I loved setting up happy hours mm-hmm. or having a couple of cocktails throughout the course of the night. And when people started realizing that I was pretty serious after the first week and even the 30 days and so forth, people realized that I was really committed to this lifestyle change and they were there to support me. And it's kind of funny is that when I have been out with friends, because I still go out to bars and still hang out with them for late nights just because I want to hang out with them. But I think when people have tried to buy me shots or when I still buy rounds for friends, people still will try to buy me one or say, hey, let's... you can still do one or you can still have a beer or a cocktail or a shot. And I think for me is that now my friends will be like, no, this is his life. And they stick up for me, whether even if I don't know about it, they'll tell me later and say, hey, someone was trying to buy you a drink and they were giving you grief and just want to let you know that if you feel that pressure, let us know. And a lot of that time during the first week and month and 6 months, a lot of my friends were like, are you okay with us going out mm-hmm. To the bars? Are you okay with us drinking? And for me, it was really me saying, it's my decision to not drink. And I'm very lucky and very fortunate, and Sarah's the same way, is that we can be around alcohol. We can even have it in our houses for our friends and for our family. We can still buy it. We can still be out at the bars, because I know for me, a lot of the times that I've gone through reflection meetings and others that I know that are choosing to be sober, they can't be around alcohol at all, or they can't have non-alcoholic beers or mocktails because it's going to be a trigger. And for me, I'm very thankful and very fortunate that I can be around those things, and I have the power and the ability to walk away from it or not surround myself if I feel pressured to do it. So
I think too, what I found surprising was people's reaction to not drinking. I thought it was going to be a lot of friends kind of pulling away and being weirded out by it. And just the amount of support and just kind of them seeing that my personality really hasn't changed. Like, I can still be wild and fun and crazy without booze was just really eye-opening for me, because I wasn't sure if I could still be that same fun girl without drinks. And I realized, like, I'm actually more crazy without booze.
Eric, so you brought up starting to drink because you were in a frat. Was that your first experience with alcohol?
Unfortunately, no. It was my almost my last day in high school. My friends and I went to a private school. So my friends and I thought we would have this crazy idea to celebrate our 4 year, or was there, it was junior high through high school. So we thought it would be a cool idea to have this party with beer and smeared off ice. And I think Zima was still big at the time.
Oh, God.
And so, like, we thought we were cool. We got away with it. But then this guy brought his girlfriend, and she told our chaplain. And then it went down south pretty quick, because we were I was suspended from our senior trip. There's probably five of us that were suspended from senior trip. Two of my buddies at the time, they couldn't walk on graduation day. I was grounded the whole summer.
Man.
And so that was my first experience. Oh. And
you would think not a very positive one.
You would think that would be like the first main experience of partying. But even before that, a year before that, I drank at Lake Chautauqua for the first time with a buddy. And I got really, unfortunately, I got really drunk. And I puked in this girl's car that I didn't know who it was. And it was really embarrassing, because I thought, I was like, oh, I'm never going to do that ever again. And gradually over the course of the years, and I didn't want to drink in college either, but it was such a social norm. Mm-hmm. And everyone else was either you were in a fraternity or sorority, either you played sports, or you knew a bunch of people from back home, or I tried to do Campus Crusade or some other religious organizations. And even those organizations still drink a little bit. And for me, I was like, oh, this is social norm, so I might as well do it.
That's kind of interesting. Your first few experiences were very negative or embarrassing in a way. Sarah, what about you? When and why did you start drinking?
Alcohol has been in my life for actually a really long time. My family they like to party. There's not really issues, but it's just something that I think I've grown up with. And so I can't, like, there's not really a specific time that it was like, wow, I'm going to sneak booze. Like, alcohol was always in our house. I had an older sister, so, you know, she'd like to go out. I have a younger brother. He likes to go out. So it just kind of was always there, I guess. I didn't start heavily drinking until college, I would say. And that's just, I think, a social norm, to be honest, is you make friends that way and get comfortable. It helps you not to be so nervous meeting new people. So I would say college is when I really started to drink a lot more and make silly mistakes, I guess.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I was just bringing that up because you wonder about, like, the beliefs that people form due to alcohol. Mm-hmm. I can go back in my past, and I think I started drinking maybe it might have been towards the end of sophomore year in high school. And I was a pretty insecure kid, really mm-hmm. nervous around girls, kind of had a hard time fitting in. And then all of a sudden you go to a party and you start drinking and you feel like you're invincible and you make a bunch of friends. And my first impression was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then same thing with college and whatnot. And all of a sudden you get kind of dependent on it, or it's almost a crutch in the social scene to the point where it's like, okay, I'm going to have a couple cocktails before this business networking event or before I go on a date or something, just because I feel like I'm better, or the good me comes out, or I'm wittier, or whatever. And it's interesting because a lot of those aren't necessarily true. You go to the event, the same event sober, and you feel, you know, you make good connections or things go fine. And you think about just the experiences and how, you know, beliefs are formed and how people kind of depend on substances that way. So I'm just wondering if, since you guys have become sober, are you shocked by anything that, you know, or what's your biggest surprise, I guess?
For me, going to social networking events, I'm not really a big small talk kind of person. And so I found that I'm still just as nervous whether I have a cocktail or not. Drinking really didn't solve that for me. And I kind of, I think, thought that it did originally. And then once I stopped drinking, I was like, I still feel kind of awkward sometimes. So I think that was surprising for me.
I think for me, like I said before, the amount of support that I received and still receive right now through friends has been mind-blowing, and even with my family, has been really been amazing, because I would have thought I would have lost a lot of friends or not been invited to other dinners or networking events or other initiatives, but it's been something for me that now people come to me and friends will say, hey, I'm thinking about quitting. What are your recommendations? How have you done it? So it's been nice to be able to share my story, and the amount of support has been truly amazing. And the relationships, like I said before, have been really very meaningful and genuine. And the fact that a lot of my friends, since I do go to a lot of different events for not only for work, but also for community support and board engagement, is really those friends who are either restaurant owners or event planners have set aside mocktails or non-alcoholic beer, not only just for me, but for others, because they realize that not everyone drinks in Wisconsin, and especially in Milwaukee. And for that, to have those opportunities and to have those options for others, and for others to be really say, hey, I'm kind of sick of drinking, and I want to change my lifestyle, or I need to do some reflection. So it's been nice to see that. And it's really been surprising to me with the amount of support, because I definitely, like I said, if I was in college, I think I would have lost a lot of those so-called friends, and I probably would have transferred out, or I probably would have not have been active in my college or in the community. So
I think too, you know, how you were talking about in college, you wouldn't have been able to do this. I think for me, if I had tried to be alcohol free in college, it would have been extremely hard too, because I think it has to do a lot with like your self-esteem and your ability to realize like no one cares what I'm doing. And in college or when you're younger, you think everybody is kind of putting you under a microscope and like, well, why isn't he drinking or why isn't she drinking? And now it's really no one's business whether I'm drinking or not. If somebody else wants to have a cocktail, that's entirely fine. But if I don't, that's fine too. So,
yeah, college is interesting. I had an experience, and I binge drank quite a bit in college, and I had to stop for a while. I ended up in the hospital one time where I had been drinking for a couple of days, and I had a 2-day hangover, which was really weird at that point in time. Now it's kind of the norm at this stage.
But, I was going to say, it's like so 3 days recovery now.
Right. So I went to the hospital over to Freightert, and I wasn't feeling good at all. So I told them, you know, what had been happening, and they hooked me up to an IV, and then I remember the nurse coming over and being like, okay, I'm going to put, you know, this drug in your system. You should be totally fine. But 10% of people feel like they want to jump out of their skin or something. So I was like, okay, sounds good. And they put it in me. And then I start shaking 5 seconds later, and basically have a panic attack and start yelling on the on the hospital bed. And then they pumped some Benadryl in me to knock me out, and I woke up and it was like my mom was there to get me.
That sounds terrifying.
It was terrifying. So after that, I had a bunch of anxiety issues with alcohol, and I pretty much cut it out or drank really lightly, because when you feel like you're going to die because of something and you don't know why, then there's just a bunch of anxiety around it. And I tried to cut it out. And back in college, it went from like, okay, it was kind of being a ringleader to an extent to wanting nothing to do with it. But I had the same group of friends and they didn't get it at all. So it was an interesting and difficult transition. Like senior year of college, I was living in Rene Row over at Marquette with two other
guys
in that
huge party area.
Right. So it was, that was a very difficult transition, still trying to kind of fit in. And I was probably more in my head than anything, but that, and then you look at, you know, being in the young professional world, it is a little easier. People understand it more. When I've gone on stretches, some of our guy friends will give me a little bit of shit, but you know, they're just razzing you. But for the most part, you get the reaction of, oh, that's really cool, I should do that, or that's great, you're doing that. And people do seem supportive. To circle back, so I've heard from some of my single friends, either in this city or other cities, being sober, that dating is difficult or the pool gets extremely small. Are you guys single? Are you dating? And what have you been dating since you've been sober? And what is that experience like in the city?
I've been dating since I've been sober. I'm not seeing anybody currently, but I do enjoy going out on dates. I think it's a little awkward at first, from what I said earlier. You know, people kind of have this assumption that you're either a wet blanket or you have this dark history with alcohol. And, you know, those things aren't very attractive. But I think if somebody's worth dating or going on a second date with, they'll kind of see your personality and realize like, oh, she just doesn't like alcohol or whatever the reason is. But it's still really awkward. It's kind of nice to have a cocktail to kind of get that tension out and not to be able to have it. It's like, what am I doing with my hands? but yeah, I'm trying to think.
It is.
I guess it's awkward too, because I don't mind being around other people who drink. And so I would almost prefer a partner that does drink, to be honest. And I think that's kind of weird for somebody who doesn't drink, and I don't plan on drinking anytime soon, so kind of interesting, I guess.
Do they feel awkward drinking when you're not drinking too? If you go to a bar or something, I think back on pretty much every date I went on when I was single, and I think they all were at a bar probably, and I'm guessing that's typical, especially for this city.
Yeah, and I would rather have it be that way. I love sitting at the bar and eating. I love having a Diet Coke or whatever I'm drinking that night at the bar. So I'm very comfortable in bars. I think for the other person, it kind of tailors them back a bit, where maybe they would have more to drink if you were drinking too. And that kind of actually irritates me, because I think if somebody wants to order three beers, do it. It doesn't bother me. Just be yourself. And that, I think first dates in general are just super awkward. I don't think I've ever had a great first date. I've had somebody break out in hives. I've had somebody drink way too much caffeine and was like freaking out. So it's awesome. Just, I never get good first dates. Eric?
I think for me, it's to Sarah's point, I think sometimes they will ask if it's okay. And usually if I go to some of the restaurants that I frequent quite a bit, they'll already have either a glass of champagne or a glass of wine, or even they'll even sometimes have a non-alcoholic beer or one of my favorite mocktails that I'll get at one of the restaurants or bars. So I think it's really, most of the girls that most of the women that I go on dates, they already know a little bit about my story and my journey. And so they choose to hang out with me. So hopefully they're okay with that. But I think it's over that course of time where some, to Sarah's point, I've seen that some will kind of back away from drinking, and I'll be like, are you sure you don't want to? Want a cocktail or a glass of wine? Because I still know that a bunch of my friends, and I still buy gifts for friends and whatnot, but I still know a little bit about the, like, what is a good wine, what is a good bottle of champagne, what is a good beer, just because my friends that own bars or restaurants, they tell me, and I know those are the trendy or popular items. So I'm like, well, I would recommend, if you like wine, because I know you do, I would recommend the house wine, or I know that they make a good cocktail here. Definitely go for it, and don't be yourself. Almost for me is that I don't want them to not be themselves, and I think that takes away if they're being if they're holding back, because then that's not really a good relationship,
I guess. And I think we both know drinking is fun. Like, you can have a good time drinking, and a lot of people need it to loosen up. And so if you're on a first date and you want to have a martini or whatever, it's like, please just do it, at least for one of us. Like, just calm down and get the jitters out.
sometimes I rock out some Red Bull, and I'm taking some Red Bull shots with my friends and the woman I've gone on dates with. So it's kind of funny. I've become more energetic, I guess. So
nice. You say drinking is fun. I think a lot of our listeners would agree with that. Do you miss anything about it? I see you two now, and it seems like you're both doing great on this path.
For me, I wouldn't say that I miss anything about it, because I've gotten to a point where I just love who I am without drinking. I think when I first started, what I missed was like having those nights where you're just getting really wild, and then you wake up the next morning with your friends in your place, and you're kind of reminiscing about, oh, that was so funny when this happened or this happened. And sometimes I miss like doing those stupid things, but then I realize like I can still do those stupid things. I'll just remember that. Yeah. So it's more I'm conscious of what I'm doing now, and I don't know. But I think too, alcohol doesn't suit me anymore. I'm a better person when I'm not drinking, and I get to do all the things that I really love the next morning, versus like if I was hungover, I really wouldn't be able to do the things I really enjoy. And so I know most of my friends don't have that problem and don't have that reaction to alcohol or have an issue with it. And so I know that it's fun. I've been there, done that, and I know that a lot of my friends still drink, and they have a great time doing it, and I can have a great time without it. So,
yeah, I mean, for me, just to Sarah's point, is that I think I don't miss it at all, but I do miss, I don't have excuses anymore where if I'm tired the next day from being out with friends till 2 or 3 a.m., it's because I stayed up till 2 or 3 a.m. And I can't just, for me, I'm not the type of person that wants to just lay around all day. And so I don't have the excuse of saying, oh, I'm hungover, so I'm just going to chill today and not do anything.
And eat a whole pizza to myself.
Well, I still do that a lot. I still do that a lot. But I think for me, like, I do miss, sometimes I don't get invited to maybe a guy's night out or a dinner party, because I know that there's going to be a lot of drinking, or there's going to be wine pairings or cocktail pairings. And for me, I, as you know, Richie and Sarah knows, I love eating, and I love just devouring different types of food. So I think for me, that's when I do a little bit miss it, where I'm like, oh, I would love to be a part of that and be a part of the educational experience of it. And how it pairs well with that drink of choice that they've picked out. But yeah, I don't miss it at all. I think for me, it's been almost 3 years. It's such a norm now for my lifestyle, and I can still go out, and I still go out quite a bit to different bars and restaurants. And people sometimes will assume that I'm drinking because I'm rocking out a mocktail or a non-alcoholic beer. So. But then now I have a lot more friends that will be like, oh, I thought you quit. And I'm like, oh, this is not alcoholic beer. Try this. So Yeah, I don't miss it. I don't miss it at all. So
I actually love when people think I'm drinking, or like if I'm, you know, dancing or laughing nice and loud and having a good time. I love when people think like, oh, are she drunk? And it's like, no, this is just me. I'm just naturally happy. I'm naturally.
Yeah.
This is just me. No alcohol needed.
Got a couple questions from the fans we can go over. Marissa Riley was wondering, what's your favorite mocktail and who serves the best mocktails?
So I don't even know some of these mocktails that my friends make me, but my favorite ones are at Screaming Tuna, Surge restaurants, so any of them, so Carnivore or Home.
Plugging all your friends?
I am.
Yeah, right.
All right, fire away. I like those guys too.
Yeah. Yolande Deacon at Irie Zulu, Camp Bar as well.
What about Luisa's?
I've never had a mocktail there.
What?
So maybe, I guess.
Just firing shots on the podcast.
But I think for me, I'm very, it's, I tell the bartenders, even the journeyman, you just tell them what you used to drink and be like, I don't like really sugary things, and they'll make an amazing mocktail. So it's for me now, you're starting to see in the UK and then on the East Coast and the West Coast that a lot of these mocktail bars are opening up, and it's pretty cool because they take, it's almost like a craft. It's a craft and skill. Excuse me to do that. So
to be honest, coming from being a bartender, I'm not a huge mocktail fan. I think if you're going to drink, you should just have a drink. But there was a place in Minneapolis, I think it's called Martina, where I had this phenomenal mango and jalapeno drink that was awesome. But I usually just stick to Diet Coke, seltzer, maybe some lemonade with cranberry juice and a splash of tonic. Tonic, if you're looking for mocktails, adding tonic to non-alcoholic beverages really helps give it a bite. Like, it has alcohol in it. So if you're ever trying to supplement things, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah. And then last question I have is, what advice would you guys give to people who are thinking about going sober for life or just trying it out for a few months?
I think if you're thinking about doing anything for yourself, you should always challenge yourself, and it doesn't hurt to just try anything, whether that be going alcohol free or adding fitness or adding better nutrition to your life. You know, just to try it is phenomenal, and it can't hurt anything. It can only make your life better. And, you know, you'll be surprised at what you can do when you challenge yourself and how much you learn about yourself. I've gotten to know myself as somebody who doesn't drink, and I love that person so much. And I could never imagine going back to the person who was drinking before, because I don't think that person is as great as I am today. So
it's very inspirational.
Thank you, Eric.
I think for someone that wants to stop drinking or wants to change their lifestyle, I think to Sarah's point, I think it's really all about reflection and really do it for yourself. And for almost since I was probably 19, I was told I'm really bad with math. So, but my parents and my family were, and some of my friends were very worried that I was abusing and binge drinking too much. But it came 3 years ago where I decided to do it on my own. And I think that's, you really need to come to that point in your life where you need to decide if it's a lifestyle change for you. It's a great thing for me is that it's a part of my life journey, and it doesn't define who I am as a person, but it's part of my life. It's part of, it's just a piece of what I do and how I live. And I think for me, it's really, if you're going to have that lifestyle change, I would highly recommend finding those genuine friends and that family, so you can have that support, so you can have that love, and those alternative options of whether that's working out or going out to a movie or finding different avenues to really substitute what you used to do. and finding that support system. I think that I would not be where I'm at without my family and my friends, mm-hmm. Because they continue to embrace me for who I am, and just like you, Richie and Sarah, it's really during those 3 years you guys haven't left me, and you let me be who I am, and I've learned from my mistakes and I've learned from my successes, and I think that's really what people need to do, is that they really need to have that not that defining moment, but if someone's willing to say, I'm going to quit for a day, or I'm going to quit for a week or a month or so forth. I think taking it one day at a time, as I learned in my reflection meetings, is taking it one day at a time, and then going for the next day and seeing if you can do it the next day, and really continuing to have that support system, continuing to have that passion for life and that energy that you used to have when you thought that when I drank, I was like, oh, I'm untouchable and I have all these friends. But for me, like, I realized that within the last 3 years that I like Sarah, I love who I am now. And I wouldn't change it for the world, because I, like I said, my relationships are more meaningful. They've grown. I've grown so much within the last 3 years, personally, professionally, spiritually, mentally. And it's amazing. So I think just taking it one day at a time is the most important thing. And then finding that support system. I know for me, is I'm always willing to talk to others and share my journey. And I know Sarah has done the same. And
you've been a big support for me. Like, when I first stopped drinking, I wasn't really sure how to navigate it. And I felt like you were a great mentor and somebody I looked up to with not drinking. And I think it's important too to note, you know, we're on kind of a longer journey, I think, than most with not drinking. And I think if anybody's just interested in cutting it out for, you know, like you were saying, a week, a month, 6 months, you know, they should just do it. It doesn't have to be a forever thing. Yeah. It can just be a nice time to really focus on yourself and not, you know, focus on anything else. Just focus on your health and how you feel inside.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for coming on, sharing your journeys. Eric, always great to see you. Sarah, great meeting you.
Yeah, nice meeting you too.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.